Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land
called Mississippi.
I spared everybody from singing along with that.
I know. Hey, it's another Thursday. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our little radio show here. This is, of course, LA Talk Radio, and you are listening to The Writer's Block. My name is Jim Christina. I am your host, and in studio with my charming and devilishly handsome co-host, Mr. Richard Polinelli. And hi, Rich.
Hey, how's it going? I was looking behind me to see who you're talking about.
Who's back there?
Who's back there, yeah.
Well, the music was specifically and specially chosen for tonight's guest.
Definitely.
So I hope she got the symbolism. I'm having a hard time talking tonight, but we shall mutter through. Okay, take it away, Richard.
All right. Congratulations, my good first-time author. You have finally typed those two golden words, the end, on your very first book.
I never typed those words.
Well, you know, some of us do. Anyway, we've got some bad news for you, though. The work is just getting started because you have to have it edited. You have to have it formatted. You need to create a nice-looking book cover, all so you can release it and get people to buy it and make you some money so you can go write book number two. Now, that sounds like a whole lot of work, and it is, and there's some good news for you. The good people at Black Dog Publishing and Tuscany Bay Books are here to help you. They will do all the heavy lifting for you, which includes getting that thing out there and getting you paid at a royalty rate that is second to none. So to find out more about their first-time program, including access to an editor and cover artist at a reduced cost, give them a call at 805-795-3165, or you can email them at jchristina@tuscanybaybooks.com, or you can send an email to me at rpolinelli@tuscanybaybooks.com, and we'll tell you everything you need to know to become a published author.
And we'll even tell you where to go if that's what you want to know.
We can do that, too. For a modest fee, we will do that as well.
And apparently, I am not the only one tripping over my tongue tonight. This is going to be a couple weeks ago. For those of you who are weekly listeners, and we have a lot of you, you may recall the night that John T. Biggs was on. Holy crap, we couldn't do anything right that night. So fortunately, tonight we got our intros to work right. We have our guest on standby. She's on, and her phone actually rang, and she actually answered it.
There you go.
Hey, it never hurts. Okay, Out West Shop is your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and the Western lifestyle. Shop for unique and distinctive apparel, fashion accessories, home decor, and general merchandise. National brands include Rockmount Ranchwear, Scully Leather Company, and American West Handbags, just to name a few. You can shop online, free if you have a computer, at www. I would tell you about my friend Robert Ingram. His mother was from England.
No, you did not.
And she said that in England, they do not pronounce it W, it's W.
Alrighty then.
I just thought I'd share that. Just nebulous piece of crap.
Next time I'm walking down the streets of London, I'll keep that in mind.
The WW. Okay, outwestshop.com. And if you enter code WB100, and you'll receive $10 off of your order. Plus, if you want to call them toll free, which I'm sure you do, number there is 877-340-9378. And that is Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, and they are just darling people. They're wonders. And Bobby Jean actually is supposed to be with us tonight, but of course she had something else to do that was probably better than this. So
You know, you let her move out of state. And
I know.
Goes everywhere.
We let her go to Albuquerque, and she falls apart on us. Okay. Yeah. Since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service, TFM truckload, and an LTL service that is the best in the industry. Not only are they exceptionally good at what they do, but they work hard to make your full truckload or LTL experience unparalleled using their customized traffic movement program. So call TFM Truckload or Target Freight Management LTL today. 844-653-7789. Ask for Mike Matruski for Truckload or any of the fine account managers at 888-653-1323 for LTL. And tell them you heard it here in the Writer's Block, and TFM will have a little something extra for you. Or if you prefer, go to www.targetfmi.com. That is the web address, and you can get them right there. Okay. It's always exciting when we bring in a new guest on because she has no idea what's going to happen.
Yep.
She actually, I think, is a listener of the Writer's Block, so she's well aware of how we will tease her into submission.
Hey, if she heard the show 2 weeks ago, she's still on.
And she's still willing to be on the show. Hey, God bless you. Okay. Reading and writing have always been a way of life for Melissa Carrigie. From an early age, her best friend was a light blue Brother typewriter and her imagination. I remember those old typewriters.
Oh, yeah.
As a published author, her works have appeared in local magazines, newspapers, as well as being a contributing writer to the Mississippi Gulf Coast and neighboring sites. She has her own column, The Family Forum, in Gulf Coast Parents and Kids magazine. Having worked as a literary agent for almost 2 years, she accepted a job with Cactus Moon Publishing as a creative director and editor for their children's book line, Saturn's Moon Press. There she dreams of finding the next Winnie the Pooh. Her first book, I Dream of Dragons, was written while attending college during an illustration class. Not being much of an illustrator, which that's funny that she should say that because she was in class, she decided to trace pictures, but the story took on a life of its own, and soon it became apparent that writing for children would become a passion. It was written for her young son, Logan, to show him that he could become anything he wanted to be if he dared to dream. And now she gets to prove it to him and that even mom can fulfill her lifelong dream and become a published author. Full of fun to read prose and fantastic illustrations that allows the child to explore the pictures, I Dream of Dragons is being released in August, or actually was released August 2017, and had pre-sale, was offered in April, and now it has been, golly, almost a year.
Yeah.
And I love the book. It's fun. It's a fun read. I mean, I like looking at pictures. So I'm easily, you know, entertained.
It works for kids and kids who are well beyond kid years.
There you go. So without any further ado, let's bring in Melissa Carrigie right now and see if she'll join us. Would you please welcome
Miss... I'm here.
Okay, well, hang on. There we go. We gotta welcome you to the Writer's Block.
If you don't let the crowd go wild, they get really cranky.
Yeah, I know. They just, you know, they take up the studio. Okay, how you doing, Melissa?
I appreciate the Puff the Magic Dragon. I was kind of afraid you were introducing me as a pot-smoking hippie.
Well,
but I'm a bourbon-drinking redneck.
If the shoe fits. Well, you know, pot's legal here now.
Do what now?
Pot is legal here in California.
Yeah, we still prefer the bourbon sipping.
We still prefer the bourbon. Actually, I've never smoked pot, so I couldn't tell you what it's like. That's not even a lie.
Either,
that's the truth.
The bourbon, maybe. But we're off topic. We're talking about a children's book, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to your children's book in just a minute. After we get through the rough job part of your interview, which ended just about now. Okay. Oh, and I did send you a coffee mug yesterday.
Thank you.
So it'll be there. I don't know. What we have to trust the mail? Friday or Saturday, maybe?
Yeah.
You can't miss it. It's in a 6x6x6 box, so...
Okay. I'll be looking out for it.
All righty. So, you wrote I Dream of Dragons while you were in school. And it has since, of course, gone on to be a hardback children's book. Very well illustrated, I might add. Would you like to share the name of your illustrator?
Yeah, his name is Clinton Bowers, and he is amazing. He's actually doing my second book.
Oh, really?
And I've had a lot of great reactions to his illustrations. And they were actually so good that I put in a picture find at the end of the book that children really, really love. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah,
if you found the pictures.
Yeah. Well, like I said in at the top of the show, I like pictures because I'm easily entertained. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's I just thought the pictures were so good, and he was so detailed, and threw in these tiny little things in there that I wanted the kids to go back and look for them. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I did that.
Yes, yeah, sir. There actually is a bunch of stuff buried in there.
Yeah. Well, I noticed in the back of the book, you have the picture find. You also have find words that start with certain letters.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little touch.
Yeah. Yes, actually, a very nice little touch.
Well,
go ahead.
I worked with 4-year-olds in school, and then I took over the 2-year-old class, and I just saw that a lot of the books that were being sold and through some book companies just weren't parent or teacher friendly. That as a teacher, you stand up and you're trying to excite the class about a book, and you can't. There's not a lot to talk about. And so I wanted the teacher to say, okay, on this page, let's find all the things that start with the letter B and something to discuss, and actually make it a learning experience. And that was really important to me.
Well, you told me the other night that you wrote this with the idea of getting it into the schools, which would be terrific, but it would have to be for like preschool.
It's more from 3 to 8. I've actually went and read it to a 3rd grade class, and they actually gave me the biggest reaction to it, and they loved the illustrations and finding the pictures. And so we had like a little game in class where what I should write about next, I dream of. And the winner was I Dream of Giants.
Well.
And I love the idea. I thought, how cool is that? And a lot of the girls want, like, I Dream of Mermaids and stuff. So I told them I'd write them a one that had the girly stuff in it.
Gotcha.
But they really got into it, and they really motivated me and inspired me. And I still have them coming up to me today and saying, I love your book. I love your book.
Wow.
That's the best feeling in the world. That's why you write.
Well, I have to be honest. As I was listening to you just then, and you said you got the biggest reaction out of the 3rd grade class. Would you like to know the first thing that came into my mind? It's amazing how quickly those little kids learn how to flip up that finger. I don't know why I thought that. I just holy crap, Jim. If I could slap myself, I would. But I'd hit myself with it.
The table's too far. I'd hit him for you. But
no, it was no offense. I just sometimes stuff like that just creeps into my brain.
I'll see if I can find something to throw at him.
Oh, if you actually want to call into the studio tonight and talk to Melissa live, it's numbers 818-602-4929. And again, that number is 818-602-4929. And of course, if you can't make it in tonight, you can listen to the podcast at any time after the show is over with. You won't be able to call in because
we're gone.
Won't be anybody in the studio. But hey, you can still listen to the show. So there you go.
Hey, Melissa, I have a question for you. Writing, you said the 3rd graders enjoyed it. What is the challenge for writing for that age group? I mean, it's a lot different for me because I'm writing the adult level sci-fi stuff. But to approach a children's book and to make it so that a 9-year-old or an 8-year-old is going to want to read this, how do you do that?
That's a good question, actually.
It is a good question, and I wish I could write the answer because I'm a much better writer than talker. I think that I got a lot of my ideas and inspirations as I was writing the book, or kind of editing and fine-tuning it, from listening to the 4-year-olds and from listening to all the teachers and the students, like what they liked. I don't think that you could go and not know a child or be around a child and be able to write at that level, because it's different, like their education level and what words they use and don't understand, but yet you want to teach them something new, so you might throw in a bigger word and expect them to know it. Like my four-year-olds, I was the assistant to the teacher, and she had very high expectations for her kids because they were a smart bunch of kids. And so one of the pages said, "I dream I'm a paleontologist." And somebody came up to me at a show where I was selling my book, and they said, "How is a four-year-old going to know what a paleontologist is?" And I'm like, I was kind of offended, like, they do, you know. Crabby old lady, she hadn't been around kids forever, I guess, because all the kids knew what a paleontologist was.
Study paleontology.
And if you don't expect it, they're not going to give it to you. You know, but if you do expect them to do things, then they give it to you. Kids are very surprising. They're smart. They catch on. And if you say a paleontologist and you have a picture of a dinosaur next to it, they're going to get it.
Yeah, that's a bit, yeah. So, I think at that age, though, you have to have both. You know, because they have to have something to reach for. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point, though. It's actually, that's a very good point. At what age do you feel, and you know, you deal with the kids, I don't. I try not to. At what age do you think that children, most children, not all, kind of start transmitting or transferring from children's books into the young adults, or the young, you know, the third, fourth grade readers that, you know, you see around, and then they get into the junior high stuff? And but at what age do you think they kind of roll out of children's books and into other stuff?
I've seen it done at different times. I think that it depends on what kind of reader they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, my son was a voracious reader, and he's 14 now, but 2 years ago, he was reading Jurassic Park. I mean, he didn't understand a lot of it, but then he got to where he just kind of put things together in sentences and realized what it was saying. But that was because he loved books. Mm-hmm. And a child that doesn't love books and doesn't read books and doesn't enjoy books, I don't think is going to be reading as much as, you know, my son has a huge vocabulary because he was such a big reader. So he read above his reading level. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how to answer that question, because I think it all depends on what kind of reader the child is.
Yeah. And the kid itself, I suppose, you know, how much they're interested in going beyond and learning.
Right. And the expectations of the parents and the teachers to the kids.
Sure.
You know, what they expect them to read, or what, you know. But you can't just give them an old boring book. Like, some of these summer reading books are just terrible. And that wouldn't excite a child or make him want to read another book.
Well, I tell you, the biggest...
I really think it has a lot to do with a lot of things,
I think. The biggest shock I ever had was when I opened a book once when I think I was around 8 or 9, and there was no pictures in it. I thought, holy crap, how did they expect me to read this
and that's
book?
When it got real.
I know, huh?
See, I'm gonna make Jim feel really bad. I read War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells at age 8.
So?
So I was already beyond the pictures.
I couldn't even pick it up.
But I think, I mean, that's kind of the point. It's, if you get a kid reading early,
right,
they're gonna advance, especially if they enjoy reading. Because I did that. I was reading stuff that 10 years.
Yeah, ago. I was pretty much reading everything I get my hands on.
Yeah,
but times were different, and I think a lot of that has to do with times were different. I grew up in the 50s, and. Kids were expected to read, and we did read, and voraciously. I mean, one of the favorite places I got to go was the library.
Yeah.
Because they had so many wonderful things there. Now it's to get a kid in the library, you got to drag them.
Technology distracting you.
Well,
it's so
visual
now.
Right. Right. You know, put the telephone down, put the computer down, let's go to the library. What for?
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm. I can get everything I want right here.
Yeah.
Except the smell of books. And they do have a definite odor, especially library. Is that a child I hear in the background?
Oh, we've got to get.
I'm sorry, that's my cat.
Oh, your cat was yowling the other night when we were on the phone.
That's my cat, Tigger. he's kind of hiding out in the office from our bulldog.
Well, maybe you want to give the cat some bourbon and
yeah.
Good night, kitty.
He said yes.
Well, let's go into a little bit about your career as a job junkie. Okay, so you've liked you loved being a literary agent.
I loved it.
What was it about that particular job that you liked so much?
I liked working with the authors.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all my authors. I loved getting to know them. I loved helping them. Their book became my baby, and it was just as important to me to get it published with a decent publisher
mm-hmm.
as it was for them. And I don't know what it was just one of those things that I really loved, and I'm friends with a lot of my old clients.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel like they're friends now. Because you're really, as a literary agent, you're really in it with your author.
Well, theoretically,
as a good literary
yeah,
agent.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of writers that still don't have agents.
Yeah. And I see a lot of posts on social media and stuff like that on the internet saying that literary agents are almost a thing of the past, which is kind of a sad thing, actually.
Well,
because they really do help a writer. If you get the good one, they really can help
mm-hmm.
tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the problem is there's not so many good agents as there used to be. I think it's kind of gone that way.
That could be.
I agree. And the smartest thing a writer can do is vet that agent like crazy.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
Go on the internet and research and, you know, do as much as you can to vet that agent, because it can make your life a nightmare for that 1 year you have a contract with them.
Right, right.
If you don't get the right one. You enter it into as a relationship. You know, it becomes that. You talk to each other quite often, and if you don't like that person, if you don't gel with that person, it's just not going to work out
mm-hmm.
to your favor.
Well, I mean, you know, you're not doing any agent work now.
No, but I do have people emailing me and asking me questions and, you know, what I can help them with. And I love to do that because I love to help people.
Well.
And, you know, I do have a little bit more inside information than somebody that's never worked in the industry before.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, a person before I got into the industry and I had written a book, I was just completely clueless, but I thought, hey, I got a good book, you know, I read a lot of magazines and I know everything, but then I got into the industry, I'm like, holy cow, I knew nothing.
Right. But, so, I mean, you were there for, what, 2 years, and you learned, and you obviously have a following.
I hope so.
My question would be, I mean, the next logical question out of my mouth should be, why don't you become an agent? Why don't you become your own agent? Start your own firm.
Because I think that starting my own publishing company kind of encompassed everything about that.
Yeah.
I started my own publishing company because I felt like I've worked in, you know, in the publishing world for a small independent publisher. I've been a literary agent and I'm a writer.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted something to combine all of that with my knowledge. And I really feel like a lot of the publishers don't communicate very well with the authors.
Right, right.
And especially if they're new authors, they just don't know what's going on.
Well,
they don't have no timelines. They don't know what's expected of them. And once your book comes out, you don't know what to expect. You need a little help with marketing, not just them marketing for you, but you're going to have to market a lot yourself and what's expected of you. And as a publisher, I want to be able to talk truthfully about this and, you know, not give them the fluffy side.
Sure.
You know, we're all in it to make money.
Sure.
And you got to have communication in order to make money.
Yeah, we actually
or to get sales.
Yeah, we actually have a writer we're working with right now that he's communication with him is hit and miss. you know, I'll send him an email or try calling him, and he doesn't answer his phone. And but then when he does, he'll email me back, which is, I mean, it's okay. But right now we're, you know, we have a deadline of June 30th.
I think so.
Is that right? On his book. And he has, I mean, his illustrator hasn't even gotten to work on it yet. And this is now February. So, I mean, we're running out of time here. So, but I do.
I would kind of
worry.
I would be bumping that deadline later in the year.
Well, I think we're going to have to, only because I guess his illustrator had some other stuff he had to do. And same guy is going to design his cover, and which is fine. But we need to get it. We've already done the two edits on the book. So we just, you know, now we need to proof it. And we can't proof it because we don't have any illustrations. And so we're just kind of stuck between a rock and a hard spot at the moment.
Well, just make it a color.
Well, you know what else is. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, well, if we don't get them, we'll just make a little blank spot there and make it a coloring book. They can just color.
Well, he did leave spaces in there. He goes, you know, full page illustration, quarter page, half page. There's spots in the book where they go. But we need, and he wants some color. That's fine, but we need to get him.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Hey, I need to give you Clinton's number. Get that stuff done quick.
Well, it's not up to me. It's up to my client. But that be that as it may. We do know the trials and tribulations of publishing.
Oh, yeah.
And Richard and I both are, we're very used to the industry and the way some writers are treated is the way some writers treat their publishers.
So. Right. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So you got...
some people think that they get really mad when they have the next Stephen King novel that they think.
Right.
And it doesn't do well. And, of course, it's all the publisher's fault.
Well, exactly. And you made the comment the other night when we were talking about, you know, people think because their book goes up on Amazon, it's immediately going to have a bestseller, and it's going to be on the bestseller list.
And
that's just not so. If people looked at how many books are actually on Amazon, I think it's like 6 million or something like that. Some huge number. You know, and every one adds another one to that number, and they see the tickers keep going all the time. You know, they don't pull books off. They just keep adding to it. So I can't see where anybody's ever going to make money off Amazon. But you can, I mean, it's all shameless self-promotion. That's three words that we use around here a lot.
Yep.
If you're not willing to go shamelessly self-promote yourself and your work, you're not going anywhere with it. Regardless of what the publisher will or will not do for you, if you're not willing to do it and go to work to sell that book, you're not going to sell any. You give them away to your relatives.
Absolutely. But see, you have people in the mindset of, I guess, the 80s where you wrote the book and the publisher did all this massive marketing for you, and it's just not that way anymore because the dollars are stretched so
exactly. And unless you're
honestly, they couldn't afford it.
Unless you're John Sanford or, you know, James Patterson,
right.
Or these guys, you're not gonna,
and you know what, they probably pay for their own promotions, to be honest with you.
Well, they probably do.
I've seen James Patterson on the TV in a commercial.
Oh my god, he writes a book a week.
But I think, to me, the best part or the best marketing that I did for my book was local marketing.
Mm-hmm.
It's in local bookstores. I do local shows. You go to local schools. And then you kind of spread out from there.
Right.
You get in the local newspaper. But your community is very supportive.
Right.
If you're lucky. And that's where you got to start with.
Right.
You just don't put it out on Amazon and expect the world to see it. You got to bring them to it somehow.
Yeah, well, that's...
you got to let them know it's there in the first place, because they're not going to go looking for your book.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I have to do an ad, so if you're going to hang with us, you're not going to leave us, right?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to have to put you back on dreaded pause, but hey, you know, enjoy it while you can. We'll be back to you in just a second. Okay, let's go here. We'll do a little bit of this. And you're leaving on vacation. Tickets have been purchased. Hotel reservations are confirmed. Mail delivery has been suspended. And what about the dog? All Dogs Rule, day camp and sleepovers. It's the best place your dog wants to be when they can't be with you. All Dogs Rule, oh man, I tell you, I have a golf ball in my mouth, apparently. All Dogs Rule provides your best four-legged friend a place to run and play outside amongst orange trees and grass in a country setting. Your dog gets to be a dog. All Dogs Rule offers additional services, including individualized playtime, personal walks, swimming sessions in the creek, and training. Visit All Dogs Rule on the web at www.alldogsrule.com or give them a call at 805-524-1100. And when your pup returns home with that smile on his face, leaves you wondering, whose vacation was better? And we know the answer. It's
the dog. The dog.
All Dogs Rule. Give them a holler. They're great folks. In fact, matter of fact, the owner of All Dogs Rule will be here tomorrow or next Thursday because he's my fourth Thursday co-host,
yep.
Russ Avison. So we're going to be charmed to have him on. We just love Russ. We just love him to death. Okay, the time is now 7:29 and 45 seconds. We are having a fascinating conversation with writer, publisher, agent, blogger. God, if I miss anything, forgive me.
I thought I saw a book cover artist.
Oh, and book cover artist, Melissa Carrigie. So welcome back to the show, Melissa.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. You are. Oh, God. Please don't let me hang up on
her. I'm really here.
Didn't run away. We've had guests disappear in that fashion.
We have. Oh, my God. It's such a hassle. And you just look at it and you just go, oh, shit.
I was going to ask you, Melissa, that is correct. You've done book covers, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to ask you a little bit about doing that. How do you approach that as far as designing a cover from scratch for a book that you didn't write?
There you go.
It's hard. It really is. Well, first of all, I have a graphic design degree, and I've got a business degree. So I do have a background of graphics. And I do a lot of presentations and conferences about how to do a good book cover.
Mm-hmm.
And my number one advice is, if you can afford to hire a book cover designer, do it. Because that's the first thing a reader sees.
Right.
And a lot of people do judge a book by its cover. So it's very important to have a good cover. And there's a lot of stuff that I could go into. But basically, I have the author send me the synopsis. I get to know the book as much as I can. I ask the author, you know, what their vision is of the book because they know it better than anybody else. And I go from there. I like to go look at books in that genre and kind of get the feel. I like to go look at the best-selling books and look at their book covers
mm-hmm.
to see what it is that's that book. You know, it might be the name. It might be a Stephen King or James Patterson, but I still like to look at their book covers to see what they've got. And I try to not copy it, but kind of get the same feel that they have. And I see a lot of times it's they've gone from realistic pictures to illustrations
mm-hmm.
on a lot of books. Mm-hmm. So I try to go with the trends, too. And you have to look at what it's going to look like on the bookshelf. So I actually went and took a picture in Barnes & Noble of their best-selling bookshelves. And when I do a book cover, I kind of place it on the bookshelf to see what it looks like mm-hmm. with the other books. And if it looks good, I'll send it to the author.
But have you noticed that some book covers, I mean, they're great. They're like totally just enthralling. You just sit there, you look at them for minutes at a time, but they have absolutely mm-hmm. nothing to do with what's in the book. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, but you buy the book, right?
Yeah, that's
you buy the book. That is absolutely correct.
Now, I mess around. I mess around with some of my book covers because I just like doing that.
Yeah.
But have you ever run into this situation where you find an image online and you love it? It is perfect for your book. And you find out that the image was stolen by somebody else and you can't use it. What do you do in that situation? Because you've got this great idea, but you can't use the image. Do you go to somebody who's a graphic artist and say, okay, here's what I had. Give me something in this style, but don't make it a blatant copy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you would do in that situation? I'm in that situation with a book cover right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's driving me crazy.
Yeah. I would definitely go and say, give me something in this idea, definitely.
Yeah, it's the image I found is perfect. Unfortunately, the artist is in the Philippines, and we found out she stole everything she's put out. So it's like, can't
That's the one you were talking about.
Yeah, you cannot even begin to think about using that one. So, yeah. And it's killing me because it's perfect.
Yeah, well, Richard and I just finished a book called The
Last Lonely Trail. I'm going to stamp that on you.
And we actually did find in public domain a picture that was absolutely perfect for the front of this book. So, I mean, we got really lucky.
Yeah.
But you don't often get real lucky.
That's good. Those bad things actually turn out to be good things.
Right.
You get a better book cover anyway.
Right, right. Let's talk a little bit about your business, your publishing business. We're more than eager to hear about what kind of clients do you want and what kind of clients do you have? What are you shooting for as far as the business goes?
Well, I put on the website that I was looking more for Southern writers or story based in the South, but I want to hear, you know, from everybody. I want to hear everything. The only thing I don't want to take right now is children's books, only because illustrators are so expensive and the pictures are so important that you have to get a good illustrator.
Right.
I've been getting submissions in, and I'm only going to take about 4 or 5 this year because I just opened it up in January.
Oh.
So I really want to get it right and build it up good and have a solid foundation. So I was looking at 4 or 5, but I'm not set on 4 or 5.
Uh-huh.
If I find more that interests me and I think that are really good, I'm going to take them.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just looking for anything, any genre, because I like to read any genre. And and then later on, as the business grows, I might narrow the genres down a little bit to find out what I'm best at, you know, as in editing, marketing,
mm-hmm.
promoting, and all that stuff. But right now, I want to look at all of it.
That's kind of a smart thing to do because you see some publishers, they publish everything that hits, and they've got hundreds of titles, and you wonder how they can focus on anything. So I like that model of doing 4 or 5. That's actually really smart.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, I really want to see about the marketing. Like, if I get a book, I want to see how much money I have to spend to market this book and when I get results and, you know, how many books I can afford to do a year, because I don't want to do, like, I believe in quality over quantity, and I know a lot of publishers will pump them out left and right.
Oh yeah.
And I just really want to take this book, even if I only find one book this year, I mm-hmm. want to baby this book. I want it to be the absolute best book it could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be a quality book, something that the author's proud of and that I'm proud of. And so that's why I'm only taking a few this year, just to kind of see what I can and can't
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm. So you are, I mean, I don't know about dead set, but your idea is to pull in Southern writers of any genre?
Well, I'm not dead set on that. I only said that because I'm in the South, based
mm-hmm.
in the South.
Right.
I know, like, the Southern Independent Book Association.
Right.
I know a lot of the bookstores in the South, the states I'm familiar with. I have a lot of people in all the different states that I can get with and, you know, get me a list of this or help me promote this book in this state. And that's why I said that, is because I'm comfortable in the South. But
that's
if
fair.
There's a non-Southern writer with a non-Southern book, that's great. I'm going to take it. But I had to narrow it down a little bit, because I didn't want to say I'm open to everything and anything from anyone everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That kind of gets, you know, a little overwhelming.
That's kind of where we are now. We're just kind of
one thing. But again, I've had submissions for people out in California and other places. That's fine.
Uh huh.
You know, and I'm going to take a book if it's good.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm more concerned with.
Yeah, I mean, the first book that we did as a company was mine.
Yeah.
Jonah Blue. And it's...
Right, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put mine in there and get it done and work all the kinks out
on mine. Yeah. So if I mess up or make any mistakes, it's going to be on mine, not somebody
well,
else's book.
That was our thinking with Jonah Blue as well. And fortunately, yeah. fortunately for me and for Tuscany, Jonah Blue took off like a scalded cat. I mean, it's now being Citrus College as a history reading book, and it's hit a bestseller down at a bookstore down in the South Harbor or South Bay, and it's just doing really 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 well. So I'm pleasantly
right.
surprised, but that's again those three words: shameless self promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So. Can't be afraid to sell. Be like the Yellow Pages.
No, you can't. And unfortunately, writers are such introverts, or most of us are anyway. It's so painful to get out there and market your book. I mean, imagine standing in front of a gym full of kids. You can shake in your boots. And you're like, oh my gosh, what are they going to do? Are they going to throw spitballs at me or what?
Well, how you handle that? Because I used to do, God, years ago, I used to work for Nestle in their fundraising division. I used to have to go big. Assemblies, talk to the kids about selling chocolate.
Yeah.
I used to pick on a teacher, just one teacher, and just pick on them all day, or the entire assembly, and the kids love it because now they're listening to everything you say because they're waiting for you to pick on that teacher again.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to let
That's
them know
right.
beforehand that you're going to do that. So, but yeah, shame if you're not like I said before, if you're not willing to promote, you're not getting a business being in there.
Right, and I do require people to send me their marketing plans because I want to make sure that they understand that they're going to have to market this book as well.
Right.
I'm not going to be the only person that works on this book.
Right. I mean, you know, we can do so much, but if the writer's not willing to get in there and get in the trenches with them, I'm not either.
Right.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Well, have you got anything that you want to tell us that's exciting and wonderful and surreal and being in Mississippi? That's probably all of the above. But, you know, you're down on the coast, right? Down close to the coast?
I am on the coast, yes.
And
we were talking about that. It's the hidden gem.
Yes, the hidden gem.
Awesome.
It's the hidden gem of Mississippi.
Well, I may be passing through Mississippi in a few months.
It was known as the armpit of America, but it's not, people.
Well, you know what my dad used to say? If the world were given an enema, the tube would go in Mississippi.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think we're the landmass. We're the landmass between Louisiana and Alabama.
Well, it's like they used to say, the only reason Texas exists is to keep the water off of Oklahoma. So.
There you go. So I've got to come through Mississippi in August. So what places do I avoid when I go through that state?
Oh, no, I can't say that.
Okay, what places do I go to when I go through Mississippi?
Go down to the coast.
Okay.
The coast.
A lot of gambling.
Or you
got
to go to Natchez, to the Natchez Trail. I mean, honestly, Mississippi is a gorgeous state with beautiful, friendly people.
Right. That's where Clark
killed. There's a huge misconception that we're all inbred and, you know, our cousins are our wives and all that. It's just not true. We were voted one of the most charitable states, but we're the poorest state. I mean, what does that tell you about the people?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I love it. I love the people here. They're very friendly. After Katrina, everybody got together and helped each other. I remember people coming down the street that had made this huge pot of red beans and rice and came down and fed everybody, you know, out of their own money. It was beautiful how people came together. And but, you know, we've got the beaches, the casinos, the museum, George Orr's Museum. There's a lot of really cool things. Just a mile down the road from me, we have Stennis Space Center, where they all the time test the engine rockets for the spaceships. So
yeah, that I would go for.
They
what,
do
how
that
cool
in Simi Valley.
Walk out
feel
your front
to.
Door and feel it, you know?
Yeah, well, it's hot there. It's hot. I don't like humidity,
yes,
humidity, and I don't like the
Our state bird is the mosquito, so.
Yeah.
And our state drink is the snow cone.
Mosquitoes and snow cones. Now, there's a pair to draw
there
into.
You go, there you go.
Well, Melissa, I'm not even going to ask you about writer's block because it's really hard to get writer's block writing a children's book. So I'm gonna forego the question. Just be aware, if you write anything longer than 18 pages and 65 words,
Bobby
we're
Jean
gonna nail
will
you.
Ask you, yes,
Bobby Jean will ask you for sure. Where can people find you? And again, want to give us all your websites, including your publishing and everything.
Okay. Well, my website is melissacarrigy.net.
Okay.
And that's Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Carrigy, C-A-R-R-I-G-E-E.net. And that's my author website.
Okay.
And you can get in touch with me about my book or ask me questions. And then my publishing website is called Brother Mockingbird, and that's brothermockingbird, one word, .org.
Oh, .org? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Brother Mockingbird. And email address?
Email address is melissacarrigy@gmail.com.
Okay. And Facebook?
I'm on Facebook as Brother Mockingbird.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm digging. You notice I'm
just... Melissa Carrigy author, I believe it is.
Okay. Great. Great. Well, thank you.
I'm on Twitter, Instagram. You can find me there.
You're a firm believer in the websites that do all the social media.
What is your Twitter handle?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'll follow you over there.
Oh, gosh. My Twitter handle is @BroMockingbird, I think it is.
Okay.
Blow Mockingbird?
Bro.
Bro.
Bro, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, brother. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, bro.
Okay.
Because it was too long for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for spending a little time with us this evening. And like I told you, you have a coffee cup coming. It's a very cool coffee cup.
Thank you. I'll take a picture and send it to you.
You need to. And it'll be your favorite coffee mug, I can guarantee you, because everyone loves them.
Good.
Yeah, well.
I appreciate y'all having me on. I've been waiting for a long time to get on.
Well, you were scheduled before, and we had to reschedule for other reasons, and we got it. But, hey, it's been a delight having you with us. So I'm glad.
Thank you.
I'm glad you could.
I hope it helps somebody, a new writer or something. If you got any questions, don't hesitate to email me.
You know, every show we do helps a new writer somewhere. That's really the truth. So.
Absolutely.
You know, whatever they can learn, and as long as they're sucking up info, they come here and they listen. So it's a good thing, and we loved having you with us. And when you get that other book done, give us a holler, and Jerry, I'm sure, will rebook you. Now, we are booked up through September.
I think so.
Okay, great. Yeah, so. Thank y'all so much.
Well, thank you, Melissa, and have yourself a great evening, and now throw a little bourbon in that glass.
And tell the cat to stay out of it.
Okay, have a good rest of your evening.
You too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
That was Melissa Carrigy.
So I now have, if I do go to Atlanta at the end of August for Dragon Con, now
right.
I know where to stop on the way.
Yeah. Well,
hit the coast.
Mississippi?
Yeah. I've never been there, so I've got to
I've only been there like once. One time. Years and years and years and years ago. If you're still listening, Melissa, I tried really hard to get out of there as fast as I could. But then Mississippi has changed a lot.
Yeah.
In 20 years, 30 years.
I'm sure it has.
You know, I mean, my best friend comes from Jackson, Mississippi. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of stuff going on there. But he doesn't live there anymore. Now he lives in Nebraska. Yeah, good figure.
Boy.
Okay, the 2018 Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival is coming up April 22nd, 23rd. Is that what you're telling me? April 22nd? Something like that? Anyway, third weekend in April.
Yes.
We have a lot of really good writers coming this year. Let me give you a list. And the first one, of course, first two are myself and Richard Polinelli sitting here across from me.
I will have a cowboy hat on this year, I promise.
Okay. We have Mr. C. Courtney Joyner will be joining us Saturday and Sunday. J.R. Sanders, who will be joining us both days. Eric Heisner and Al Bringus, both days. Bob Brill, both days. Dale Jackson will be there only on Saturday. He's, I think he's got some script stuff he's got to go through for this. They're making a movie out of one of his books. So, Johnny D. Boggs will be there. He's a talking head from the History Channel and also a great, great writer. Katie Ryan, just a great, just the nicest lady and just a lot of fun to be around. She will be there. And of course, for those of you who have attended the Cowboy Festival before, Mr. Peter Shirako will be at his own table again this year. So that pretty much covers who's going to be at the Buckaroo Bookstore. And if you would like to know who's going to be on the Buckaroo stage, if you email me, jimchristina@yahoo.com, I will send you a list of times and who's going to be on the Buckaroo stage as far as musicians go.
Yeah.
And which we don't have anything to do with, but we'll help them out. Okay, you got anything? Any interesting, earth-shattering you want to share with our listeners here, Richard?
Not this week, but hopefully when I come back in 2 weeks, I'll have a couple of news items for you guys. Can't really announce anything yet.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Hmm.
Got to make it official first because I'll blab and then it'll get changed and then I'll be in a world of trouble. So
All right.
Sorry, no breaking news tonight. Live at 11, nothing, not a zip.
I'd love having really smart women on this show because they make us look so dumb.
Yes, they do.
And Melissa is one of them. And you know, and we get, but Bobby Jean is just as sharp as a tack as well. And Jerry, God knows Jerry is just like smarter than hell. But we have some of our guests have been on here that have been just absolutely stunning. And they're so much fun to talk to because they are so smart. And you get really good questions out of smart ones that, you know, just, you wouldn't think of to ask another writer. Especially a guy whose answers are one syllable.
With a grunt.
With a grunt, you know. And yeah, how long did it take you to write that? Yeah. Oh, 4 years. I like the ones. I've been writing since I was 12. Well, same boat.
Seems like it sometimes. There you go.
If it seems like we're making fun of some of our writers, we do. But, yeah. Hey, we love them all. Well, that's another Thursday shot in the butt. And next week we'll have Mr. Russ Avison with us.
And I won't be here.
And Richard will not be here. And I have a list of who is going to be here with us next week. And it is, let me see, Sharon Wheel and her book, Changeability. I believe it's some sort of a let's get down and get dirty and fix yourself book. So I don't know. Maybe not. I haven't started reading it yet. And other than that, that's pretty much it for tonight's show. All except right. April, everybody remember John Sanford is with us in April.
April. And the dates on the Cowboy Festival are the 21st and 22nd.
Oh, 21st and 22nd of April. Okay. And then, of course, May is a very special month for the Writer's Block because we go 3 years at that point. So.
And I will actually be making an appearance as a guest on
the
show.
You will
in
be.
May.
June 28th, actually, the entire crew of the Writer's Block will be on. Mm-hmm. Half of them will be in the studio, and Bobby Jean, of course, will be calling in from Albuquerque. And we're just going to talk about the show and what's changed significantly or insignificantly over the year. And that's it for us. All thank you so much for joining us and spending your time with us on a Thursday evening. For Richard and for Bobby Jean and myself, Jim Christina, this is us saying goodnight, and we are out of here.